with it, but it's what they use to as their slogan. We talk about mind is a terrible thing to waste. And we talk about our mentality. And I don't know about you, but how we go and how we move is based on our mentality. I've been, you know, examining myself as we've been going through this series to say, Lord, how have I not been going forward? Because sometimes we can find ourselves in a place of despair, and you can't get in a rut. You can actually get in a spiritual rut. That you ever seen a car that's stuck in a hole? It'll go forward and go backward, go forward and go backward. And you put all that effort, and you're doing nothing but what? Spinning your tires. You can burn up a whole tank of gas. You can burn up the rubber off your tires and not move anywhere. This is why sometimes people say, but Pastor, I'm going to church and I'm praying and I'm doing all of these things, and it seems like I'm getting nowhere. What you find yourself is in what you're in a spiritual rut. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we can be doing so much and not going anywhere. I call it the treadmill mentality. You ever worked out on the treadmill before? Now, the nice thing about a treadmill is that you typically use them indoors, and you can control the speed and you can go as fast or slow as you want. But one thing about a treadmill is you're doing all that effort and you're not going anywhere. You're putting forth all that effort and you're not moving. And sometimes, you know, I ask myself and I look back and I look at my ministry and say, God, are we on a spiritual treadmill here? Are we training for something that we're not moving forward in? Lord, what is going on? Is it something that I'm not doing? And God spoke to me and said, well, have you checked your attitude? Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes we have to check our attitude toward things. Sometimes we have underlying things that we not even really was considering, but this is a symptom of something else. You know, sometimes they tell us that you could be sick and you might be treating the headache, but the headache might actually be a symptom of something deeper. It's just a symptom of something that's much grander. And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we treat the symptoms, but we forget the root cause. We treat the symptoms of things and we forget the root cause. And sometimes the root cause, it can be things that we overlook. Sometimes it be things that we find ourselves in that we thought we were okay, and that God is calling us to another level in, and he's challenging us in. If you haven't figured that out already, you know you're in a ministry that's going to challenge you. Amen. That's who God has called me to be, that I am to challenge God's people to be better, to be better, to be better, to be stronger, to be wiser, to go deeper. Why? Because it's not about me. One day I'm going to be dead and gone, and I'm going to be on the going to reward. But those who remain got to be able to go on. Oh, come on, somebody. That you got to be able to go on and say, you know what? Pastor's gone, but nonetheless, the pastor dropped enough in me that what? I knew it was not about him, but we was what? Walking together in this thing. Now, I was not praising him, but I was praising Jehovah Jireh. He was just the leader that God had given me for that place and time. Oh, see, everybody don't teach like that. Some say that, no, you can't do anything unless you ask the pastor. Some say that you only can go to God if you're only a part of this church. I'm here to tell you today that God has more than one church going to heaven. It'd be a sad place if it was just going to be us. Oh, come on, somebody. There's some other people that's saved. There's some other people who live in righteousness. There's some other people who are calling out to God, who find themselves in the same place. God had to remind Elijah. He said, boy, I got 7,000 prophets who had not bowed the Baal. When Elijah was out there feeling pity party for himself to say, it's only just me. And sometimes as believers, we can get stuck in that rut that it's only just me. You know, well, it's only me that they did this to at the job. It's only me that this my family's going through this. It's only me. And this is how the devil works. He puts us in isolation, so we're in that rut. And we're going back and forth, and not making any progress. So when God dropped this mentality series on me, I said, Lord, how do we go forward? And he gave it to me in such a way to be able to explain that what we're doing is we're changing our default. When we are in trouble, when we have something go on, we go to our default training. They talk about it in the military all the time. I work in a military town, and we find that the guys in the military, the reason they train so much is what they're trying to do is train themselves to a default mentality, meaning that what? When something happens, they automatically do things. They don't have to think about what they're going to do. They don't have to think about that I need to get over here in this position or flank this position or shoot this way or do that. Why? Because that 1 second that they take to think could cost them their lives. It could cost the people that they're protecting life. So they have to what? Get to a point that they train themselves. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. So this is why we're studying. This is why what? We come into the Beatitudes and we've been studying, understanding what God has us to do. Why? Because we're training ourselves so that when the day of testing comes, you know what you're going to do. You don't even have to think about it. See, oftentimes we find ourselves in places and situations and circumstances that happen to us just like this. And what happens is we're always going to go to our default when we're under pressure. If you a cusser, and that's in your heart, you're going to be cussing when you get under pressure. Oh, come on, somebody. If you a fighter, when you get to your default, when you're in that situation, you're going to be fighting. When you or if you're a stealer and you get to that point and you don't trust God because you hadn't been trained that way, what do? You start stealing. You start stealing to make your way. All these things that you've been told that you shouldn't do, all these things you know you shouldn't do, all these things you read about and you know about, you think and you see this stuff. But what happens is when you under pressure, you always go to your default setting. And what we've been trying to do is what? To change our defaults. See, we used to have this saying that said that you can take the what they how to make sure I say it right. They said you can take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the girl. Meaning that she got in certain places that she can be smart, she can be trained, she can go to Harvard and all these things. But you catch her at the wrong time. You say something you shouldn't say. You step on her shoes or whatever the case may be that triggers her, you'll see all that she was to come out of her. Mm-hmm. So it ain't, you know, some people try to say, well, it changing. No, when you know better, you do better. You know, you act the way you act. You do what you do because what? This is the setting that I've been brought up in. I am a product of my environment. But when I get to know better, when God has brought me into learning better and being around people, this is why the Bible talks about iron sharpens iron. So I rub off some of the rough edges off you. You rub off some of the rough edges on me, I might be uppity. I might be what they call bougie. And God called us to be what? Humble and meek towards his people. So that's some things that maybe you don't get, but that's some things I don't get, and we rub off each other. I understand. I never forget when I first came to this triad area and I was working with an individual, and this individual was there to support me as an admin assistant. And we was talking to her, and I was really young at the time. I was like 26, 27 years old. And I remember just talking to her, and she was talking about, you know, we had just gotten paid that day, and she was asking about her bills. And we was talking about her bills, and she was telling me, she said, yeah, after I get through doing everything I want to do, I'm going to go pay what's left. And I looked at her with that face of, you know, I have that, you know, my wife tells me all the time that you can read my, you know, my face. And I had that face balled up, like, what are you doing? And her default was that when she got paid to do whatever it is she wanted to do, and if there was some money left over, they'd pay what she owed. Now, I found that this lady at this time was probably 50 years old, and I'm thinking, how did you make it through 50 years of life? How do you make it through 50 years of life just doing whatever you want to do, and then whatever you had left, you paid somebody? And what I found out is that sometimes God has put some of us in places that we have been so blessed that we were trained in the Bible. Because see, when I got to know more about her, I learned that that's how she was trained, because people around her, that's what they did. Uh-huh. And then they begged for what they needed. Oh, come on, somebody. They bought what they wanted, but they begged for what they needed. So at the end of the month, you'll see them in the line. Now, it's not nothing wrong with that. If that's what you need, amen. We all have our ups and downs. We all been down on our luck sometimes, so to speak. But nonetheless, that when you make poor decisions, but sometimes I'm finding that people make poor decisions because they generally do not know. Now, there is a group of people who do want to know and do better, but then there's a group of people who are just satisfied with being where they are. If I'm talking to somebody today, the people I want to talk to is those who are ready to make a decision to be better. If then you are happy where you are, if you're happy doing what you're doing, if you're happy with the results you're getting, if you're happy being exactly where you are, then fine. But the rest of us who want to move out of this spiritual rut, the rest of us who want to go to the next level, the rest of us who want to increase and see God's glory, I'm talking to you. Amen. I'm talking to you today. So here we find ourselves. So we go through the mentality. So we're doing this, what? Default. Retraining our default setting. And we talk about it all year. Reimagine God. Right? Because we have a what? A rut mentality that we only know God this way. We only know him as a healer. We only know him as a provider. We only know him as a Santa Claus. All these kind of things. And what we've been doing all year long is reprogramming our mind that, look, God, I know you in all aspects. I know that you can do any and everything. Even if you've never done this for me before, I have the faith to believe that you can do it. Amen. So this is what this whole month has been about. And as we move into September, I find it oddly enough that we're talking about the body. So we rested in June. Oh, come on, somebody. Because we had to reset. And then in July, we talked about the, now it slips my mind. But anyway, Then we moved in August. What we've been talking about, mentality. So we talk about this mind, getting the right mindset. And now what? Now that we have the right mindset, the body has to follow. And there's some things that you and I can talk about, and we're going to discuss that we can do in our bodies to make them better. But the Bible says that what? Let this body be what? A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. That means what? We got to exercise some discipline in our bodies. Some of us, that means we might have to slide back from the table. We got to make some better food choices. Oh, come on, somebody. We're going to be a healthy church, amen? Because God wants to use us, and he can't use us if we're not in the grave. I mean, if we're in the grave, right? So I'm talking to, I'm not just you, but I'm talking to me too. There's some things, you know, I'm going to have to give up. There's some things that he's trying us, what? Because God wants us to be what? When people come in, they say, I suffer with sugar diabetes. I want to be able to say, I want us to all be able to say that God is a healer. Why? Because, you know, he helped me, and by what? Me making some better decisions, because he's changed my mentality and how I operate and how I eat and the things that I do that I've been doing for 40 years. But now I've lost this weight and my A1C then went down. And now I'm at a point I don't need metformin. I don't need this. I don't need that. Amen. Oh, come on, somebody. It's getting quiet in here. Well, I'm just trying to help us on this trip. Because if we're going to carry what God has called us to carry, we have to be physically strong too. Because this weight is just not a mental weight, but it's also a physical weight in the sense that what it causes some things. I don't know about you, but some nights I don't sleep real well. Why? Because I'm thinking about things and some that, well, it takes toll on my body. So if I'm not healthy, they telling me that the people who are leaving here from coronavirus are what? People who have ailments in their body. That they already have some pre-existing conditions, and now this virus just does nothing but what? Magnify what they was already struggling with. They tell me when people die of AIDS that they don't necessarily die of AIDS, they die of what? A common cold or something, a pneumonia or something like that. Why? Because it attacks the immune system, which fights off those things. So I know some of us saying that, well, Pastor, you can't come after my fried chicken and my this and my that. Remember, if you want to move, nobody's forcing you to move. You always have a choice. The Bible says, choose ye this day who you serve. So if you desire to be in your rut, if you desire to stay where you are, if you desire not to go to the next level, then fine. But the rest of us and those who do want to go, we're going to make some better choices. Why? Because I need accountability partners. You need accountability partners. And we want to be better when be able to go to the next level that God has called us to do. That starts with our mentality. Amen. So we went through mentality and we talked about now we're changing our default. So we changed our default in our mind. Now we got to start working on what? Changing our default in our bodies. Some of you have been talking about, well, I want to get healthy for years. This is the year. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we're going to be in this together. I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. I knew it was going to get quiet in here. Amen. But nonetheless, anyway, this is what God has given me. Let's go forward here. All right. So on today, I want to talk to you as we finish the Beatitudes, but I want to go to you and finish this as being a fifth Sunday. Amen. We have, I think, three or four of these a year. So sometimes this is what people would call the odd Sunday or whatever the case may be. But I believe the fifth Sunday is the Sunday of grace. But we know five is the number of grace. So the fifth Sunday has to me, automatically be the Sunday of grace. So I'm thankful for the grace that he's given us. And I want to talk to you a little bit on today. Would you turn with me in your Bibles and those online? We're going to go in two different verses here today. We're going to be in Matthew 27 and 51. Matthew 27, 51. And then we're going to be in Ephesians 2. 13 through 16. Ephesians, the second chapter, 13 through 16. For those who just joined us, welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. My name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I get to serve these wonderful people here in the gate city of Greensboro, North Carolina. If you're ever in our locale, we're located at 3113 Cedar Park Road here in Greensboro, North Carolina. We'll be more than glad to have you here and to worship with us. All right. So Matthew 27 and 51, and it says this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. Now turn over to Ephesians 2, 13 through 16. Ephesians 2, 13 through 16, it says this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who have made both one, and have broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished his flesh, the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord. I ask that you, Lord, you allow your word to go forth on this day. Lord Jesus, let it hit people, Lord Jesus, exactly where they need to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, let it be a growth mechanism, oh God. Let them see themselves, oh God, Lord. They know, Lord Jesus, that you've not forgotten them. Lord Jesus, that they're growing, that they're going to the next level in you, Lord. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you care of us, Lord. We thank you for where we're going, Lord. And we just honor you in this place on today. Lord, we honor you, your people, oh God. We thank you for keeping us, oh God, through all of these things, Lord. Let this word be a nourishment to their bodies, oh God, and help them to go to the next level. We ask you to do all these things of us in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So we find ourselves here and read two different scriptures. So if you start in the book of Matthew, when we go to Matthew, this is the, when you go through and you read the entire chapter, you find this is the scripture where they start and they persecute Jesus. And Jesus is now being hung on the cross and Jesus dies. And when Jesus is there on the cross, of course, we know, many of us know the story of the cross, how they whipped him and they hung him, and he was there and he was bleeding and he was dying and he was there between the two different guys there. And he gets to a point that he says some words, you know, they call it the last seven words of Jesus. And he's saying these words, but the last seven ones that he said that it was finished are the ones that we know ought to be the most important. And when he was up there, then the Bible says at that point when he did that, that what? There was a rent of the veil that was being torn. So here the word rent means to be what? Torn, to be torn apart. So I want to talk to you from today from the subject when the two became one. When the two became one. The Bible says in the book of James that a man of a double mind, meaning two, is unstable in all his ways. You all hear me quote that scripture a lot. And I use that scripture a lot. Why? Because we have a double mentality that we're born with. Mm-hmm. The Bible tells us what? That we're born into sin. We're born into sin. We know because of what? First man, Adam. When Adam and them sinned, now all of us were born into sin. And therefore we have to be what? Reconciled to the Father. What he talks about here in Ephesians said that what? The two again become one. Are y'all with me? So now here what? When you and I are born, we're born, what? There's two separate parts of us. There's a spirit and there's a body. And then there has to be what? A time and place that you and I have to make a decision when the two shall become one. For some of us, some never make that decision, unfortunately. But a lot of us, we need to look at making that decision and say, Lord, when does the two become one? Because if I have a double mind, and I was talking about earlier about the default setting, that if I have a double mind, when I find myself in trouble, I go to my default. And my default by nature is what? The man. That my default by nature is this godly world. That my default, why? My body desires to live like everybody else is living. My body desires to sin like everybody else is sinning. My body desires the alcohol and the drugs like everybody else is desiring. My body desires the pleasure of this world like everybody else is desiring. My body wants to do the things that it sees everybody else is doing. So I have to be what? The Bible said, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. So the mind that's in Jesus is not the mind of the world. So that tells me then that what? There's two different mindsets going on here. And as I walk by faith and not by sight, my mind is telling me that I'm not to step there, that I'm going to fall. But my faith is telling me that he's going to be there to protect me. Who do I listen to in the time of trouble? See, oftentimes we don't have time to think. I think about some of the times that I've been in car wrecks and I don't want to be in anymore. Lord knows I don't. But the times I would, I remember you would just say, Jesus. And that was my default because that's who I knew. That's all I knew. And I didn't even a one-word prayer at that time to get me through. Sometimes we find ourselves in a bad thing, we'll just say, Jesus. And we call on that name. Why? Because that's our default setting. Why is that our default setting? Because the two has become one. Mm-hmm. Because what the power that's in him will overtake the power that's of you. Our will has what? A limitation. There's nothing but so much I can do in my will. We'll examine this in September. We talk about our will. You know, I think about diets. We talk about somebody who's been a yo-yo dieter most of his adult life. I've lost 70 pounds. I've gained 80 pounds. I've lost 80 pounds. I gained 100 pounds. I've been up and down, up and down. But God has been dealing with me some things is that when my mentality changes, when I made a decision, because see what I was doing, I'm doing it my will. And at some point, my will breaks. At some point, your will breaks. Everybody has a price. I often tell people that, yes, I have a price. I just hope that you never reach it. Don't fool yourself. Everybody has a price. But like I said, I often tell them, please, Lord, don't never let them figure out what mine is. So don't think yourself, oh, highly up, but this is why we are constantly working. So what I find is, as I get deeper in Christ, the price raises. Woo! Come on, somebody. Because see, things I would have sold myself out for when I didn't know him, when I would have sold my body for $10, $25, $30 like some people do, when I would have sold myself for a new car, when I would have laid for her for a new shirt. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just talking to you, those who want to change. But what happens is, as you know your value, the price changes. When you know what you're worth, and you know that you're worth to God, your price changes. Mm-hmm. Because then what happens is that as more and more people want it, we call it simple economics 101, they call it supply and demand. If they even wanted you, your price is up through the roof. And if a lot of them want that, oh, come on, somebody, the price continues to go up. So what we're talking about, when the two becomes one. Because see, when you're two, there's more than one of you. And when it's more than one of you, you come cheaper. Oh, come on, somebody. But when the two become one, when the two decide to become one, I remember it, and I fought with this for a long time, especially right before we got started with this ministry and this thing that I always told myself, yes, I'm a believer, but I'm also a professor, and I'm also a father, and I'm also a husband, and I do all these things. And I had in my mind, I had them all separate. So when I'm at work, I was the professor. And when I was at home, I was dad. And when I was in the street, I was husband. And I had all these things separated. And I don't know why, because I felt like I had to do that for them to work. How many of you know you have to work out your, the Bible said, work out your own soul salvation. So I was working out things. Don't mean I wasn't saved. Didn't mean I didn't believe. But I tried to, you know, they said, separation between church and state. So I made sure I didn't talk about church and work. I didn't want nobody to feel all spooky around me. You know, he's one of them holy rollers and this kind of thing. And we used to hear about people getting in trouble. That would come up, would run up, slap the folks over and say, come on in the name of Jesus and all this stuff, right? Just being silly. But anyway, well, I ain't going to say being silly. Well, faith misguided. Let's put it that way. They believe, but sometimes it's being misguided. And we see good people get messed up like that. So I take that back. Please, I apologize. But nonetheless, here, what I was finding myself, because I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be known as, well, I'm a professional first, right? And I fought with this dichotomy with inside of myself. And how do I get to be this, Lord? And I want to do these things with my job. And I want to do these things in my career. And I want to be able to help people and do all this stuff. But Lord, I'm your guy. Lord, I'm preaching on Sunday mornings. And, you know, some people look at that and it's like, right? Uh-huh. So, and especially in my space, because we're in the space of people who have learned and this stuff is just silly. And the Bible tells me, yes, he uses the silliness of the gospel to save those people, right? He used the silliness of preaching to save those people. So I'm one of those ones who just believe. But then also, this other side of me is like, well, how do I fight and not be what I believe you called me to be? So I'm struggling with this. Like, Lord, how can I be the professor and the preacher? Lord, how can I be the dean and the believer? And I struggle with this dichotomy because what you find is that you don't hear a lot of people talking about that part. See, I find it funny and strange that, you know, people came out to Mike Pence. I'm not into politics. I'm really not. You know, I believe you should vote, and I tell everybody to go vote. But I noticed how people came out to Mike Pence, and you know, they called him kind of spooky because he said God talked to him. And I'm thinking, well, dang it, I'm spooky too then because he talks to me. And people was trying him on his faith, and he is the second person in charge of the whole basically world, definitely the free world, and they was trying his faith, and I was like, you know, I'm not a, you know, Republican or a Democrat, I care less about either one of them, but nonetheless, I was looking and I was watching this thing from afar, and I was like, looking how he was handling himself, and I was like, well, how does he do that? And you notice, if you ever go back and you look, there were certain things you never heard him say. There are certain things, you know, even when President Trump was doing some dumb stuff, and he's out there saying some crazy stuff, you never thought, watch him, go back and look. Examine. Observation is a very powerful tool. Go examine and watch what, how he walks. Watch his wisdom that he uses on something. Now, I ain't saying say you gotta agree with everything the man said, but I'm saying just look, there's some things you can learn from watching his wisdom. So what I had to come to the mentality of, and what I had to decide is figure out that, you know what, Peter? The two cannot live separate. Because the Bible said what? A man of a what? A double mind is unstable where? In all of his ways. So what that meant is what? When the professor's side of me wanted to do something, I listened to the professor's side. When the God side of me wanted to do something, I was listening to the God side. And they both cannot live there. Because they both have to be what? The two have to become one. So what I had to decide, and I said, well, you know, myself, you know, and I looked inside myself and said, Lord, what am I doing? That I'm like, well, all this I feel like I worked for, and God had to remind me that you have what you have because I allowed you to have it. Your mind is as good as it is because I allowed it to be there. And I had to be reminded that what, it was Jehovah Jireh who was my provider, not that job that I went to. So when I made the decision, I've been so happy ever since, they decided that, you know what, I'm not just a professor and a preacher all the time, that I'm husband and wife, or I'm husband and I'm son and I'm dad all the time, that all these things are just who I am. And you take it or you leave it. If this is what you want and this is your cup of tea, let's go. And if not, it's okay. And some of us have been fighting this dichotomy inside of ourselves. We're one way around our family. Oh, come on, somebody. And we're another person when we're around our saints. We're one way when we at work, and we another way when we out in the street. And we one way. I'm here to tell you today that you cannot go forward like that. It will literally drive you insane. For what? You're walking around with split personalities. You have a personality disorder. Oh, come on, somebody. That what? That you have all these different things going on when they all are really one. No, the Bible talks about, you know, this, you know, talks about, you know, Spirit and Jesus, and then he talks about the Holy Ghost and all of these things, what, on the Father, they all come together to be what? One God. So we serve one God, so one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Mm-hmm. That all these things are one. So when the two came together, see, here on when Jesus was crucified, this is when the two became one. He says here in Ephesians that what? That there was a partition that was up. That partition was what? That you and I could not go before the Father. And Jesus tore down the partition by what? Giving his life as a human sacrifice. And by giving his life as a human sacrifice, what they did is what? Now we have what? This forgiveness set up. That what? We can go to him and ask for forgiveness, and now we can go straight to the Father and be able to have a conversation with him, to be able to talk with him. I am glad that Jesus gave his life. I hate to see that he went through, but I am glad because it's given me an opportunity to become one. And he said that what? He was reconciled unto himself. Reconcile mean what? To pull back together to become one. One of the hardest things that I find is what? That we work in marriage. Those who marry, those who know that marriage is a what? It's a start of becoming one. You're constantly what? Working together to become one flesh. You're constantly working together to be one spirit, one mind, and one accord. And there's always a dichotomy there that you're working against. Why? Because you got two individuals who are two separate people. Mm-hmm. They, you know, she had her mentality and how she was raised. You have your mentality and how you were raised. You know what you think is right. She know what she think is right. And here, what in the middle lies where you all got to be. Which means that what? There's some things that I have to take off to allow some things for her to put on. And there's some things she has to take off to allow for her to put on. Amen. And as the two come together, as the two merge, now we have this beautiful thing of what God has called what? The bride of Christ. This is why marriage is what? Representative of the bride of Christ. This is why marriage is holy. This is why marriage is sanctified. And what? We've taken it to a place today that's been going to anybody and everybody can get married to anybody and everybody they want to. They marry cats and dogs too. Oh, come on, somebody. It's God's got truth. But here today, what he said that what this is representative of what the bride of Christ today. He's coming back for his bride. That bride being what the church. So that's why our marriages are what are a symbol or a representation of what it's going to look like for Christ. So what we constantly find ourselves here in the physical world as husband and wife trying to get together, but we're also doing the same thing in the spiritual world. That what we're trying to what become one with him. So this is why he reminds us what? Not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Not my thoughts, but your thoughts. That he tells us that what my thoughts are just as far as from the east and from the west.
Mm-hmm.
That what? The way that you go is not the way that I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you thought to move is not the way I'm going to move. And what he's constantly doing is getting us what? To a point that we come together and that we reconcile ourselves with him. But how do we reconcile ourselves with him, Pastor? I'm glad that you asked. We reconcile ourselves by what? Just like we do in our marriage. We got to be humble. You got to humble yourself. You got to listen. You got to say, well, you know what? This is what I like to do, but is this what I should be doing? This is where I like to go, but should I be going? This is what I like to say, but is this what I should be saying? Because see, the truth of the matter is, every level requires you to take off some baggage. As many of you know, that God has blessed me and opened up a door for me to be promoted. And that was definitely a godsend. Amen. Signed the contract on this week, and I'm grateful. But even in all of that, what I'm finding is that the way people used to treat me, they treat me a little differently now. Not because I've changed. You know, and I told you all this before, that Jay-Z said that it wasn't he that changed, but it was the people around him that changed when he got what he got. And I find this to be true. Because now, to me, I'm the same person. I want to run and cut and hiccup with the people at work, but I find out they don't want to do that with me. Why? Because they see things differently now. They see that maybe he can do this, or maybe he can do that, even though I know that's not in my mentality to do it. I even thought about that, not even close to thinking about that. But it's the mentality of what people see. So the thing is, when you're a believer, people see you differently. They expect you to take certain things. Doesn't mean that you have to, but they expect it. Because the first thing you do when you do something outside of that realm, what they say, I thought she was a Christian. When you do something they didn't approve of, what they say, I thought he was a Christian. Because they have their mentality of who they think you are. They have their mentality of what you should do and what you should do. What, based off their own little idiosyncrasies that they have within themselves. So they try to put us in categories. Sometimes, some of us, they hear that, and because we are hear that, we get lost and we get off track.
Mm-hmm.
Or we think more than this, we get discouraged. Yeah. You're not perfect. We're striving towards what? Perfection. Paul reminds us of that very good. He said, I got three of them in here. I prayed for it three times, and you won't move it. And what did you say? My grace is sufficient. So that tells me that even with my limp, I'm to move forward. Do you not know, even though you have a limp or you have a bad gait, as they call it, you can still move forward? Maybe you don't move at the same pace. Because sometimes that gait, they tell me that gait that Jacob had, that it was there to remind him of the battle that he had with the angel. And the angel does what? Knocks his hip out of the spot. And they say he walks with a limp the rest of his life. I don't know about you, I got one or two scars on my body that remind me of some things. No matter how old I get, and I see that, you know, and sometimes, this is the thing, you know, as we say that time heals all wounds, and it does, but the wound does never completely disappear. There's marks I have on me that when I was a kid, they were this big, okay? But now in my older, they like this big. And what's happened is what? I've grown. And as I've grown, see, my hand was probably this big, but now my hand is this big. The size of the mark really didn't decrease. It's just that what? The size of me increased. And what happens is, as you and I increase in Christ, those things you struggle with seem smaller and smaller and smaller. As we used to say in the country, don't turn this anthill into a mountain. Because see, an anthill for an ant looks like a big, mountain. But when God brought you from being an ant to being something greater, you can look over it and that same thing is still there. It can still trip you up. Don't get so high-minded that it don't, but you know and you're aware that it's there and you say, okay, I've conquered that and I know where that is. So when I see that, I know how to step around that, I know how to step over that, because before, you only do one way, you had to climb up it. Do you understand? Are you all seeing what I'm saying? It's like how we grow. When we grow in Christ, the scar didn't change, but I changed. I grew. I got better. I got stronger. I got wiser. God has shown me more. So what I'm telling you today is, as God takes this church to another level, as he takes us to reach this community, as we go forward, we cannot start sweating some of the small stuff. Because see, I'm starting to understand there was things that I struggled with, things that people used to say and people used to do, they put around me. I used to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. And what I found out is no, it's taken away from what the things I need to do. So brothers and sisters, we can't sweat the small stuff. That thing you used to worry about, examine that against what God is telling you to do. And whichever the two is bigger, that's the one you go after. Because a lot of times we spend our time fighting stuff that we used to fight on that level. But now we can just step over it and keep going. Is it there? Yes. Is it nagging? Yes. But does it stop the mission? No. And this is what God is reminding Paul when he tells him that, what? My grace is sufficient. I know it nags you, Paul, that it's in your side. But it's there to open you. It's there to keep you reminding you that what? You didn't get where you got by yourself. You ain't going where you're going because of you. You're going where you're going, and you're going to be there, and you're going to do as well as you do. Why? Because I am there. This is why no matter how high we go in our jobs and how high we go in this world and things that God has blessed us with, there's always something that comes along that reminds you. There's always something that comes along. You think, whoo, I finally got here and I arrived. And as soon as you get there, you'll see something. You'll be like, really? Really? This is it. And it's that little thing that keeps us grounded. It's that little thing that it's that glue that keeps us together. That's that little thing that keeps me on my knees to say, okay, God, you got to make sure you take care of this. Because if not, and they push my button, this might come out. Lord, I've not dealt with this yet. This is still struggling. I'm still struggling with this mentality inside of me. Lord, I still have this secret sin, oh God. I still have this thing that I do on the side that I'm worried about. And God, what? He'll keep you. We all have secret stuff we struggle with. Every person in here. It's stuff that you don't want nobody to know you would be embarrassed about. And I believe God does that for a reason. Number one, to keep us humble. Number two, the reason he don't expose none, because we'll be judging each other. We'll be like, you still struggling with that? But then we'll be looking at you, but you struggling with that? And the thing is, at the end of the day, is we got to remind ourselves that everybody's struggle is their struggle. And your struggle, because every race is an individual race. And since it's individual, if you're struggling with it and it's bad for you, it's bad then. Acknowledge that. Don't belittle yourself, because that's where you are. That ant hill at the top, when you're an ant, it's a bad deal. But when you're no longer an ant, the Bible says like this, when I was a child, I understood as a child. I moved as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And what is he asking us to do? To grow from the milk to the meat. When I was with my mother, I was on milk, and I started out with my mother's breast. But then there came a time that I grew to maturity. And what God is calling us to do when we come together, when the two become one, is when we walk in maturity. How can we save the world? How can the world be saved if you and I are still struggling with some of these small things? How can the world be saved and changed if we still struggling with the mindset that what we need to become one? These are the things that God is calling me to challenge you with. You know where they are. I don't have to be in your house. I don't have to be there to tell you do this and do that. But you know. And if you decide that you want to go with us, then great. Won't you dare? And if not, God bless you. And it's okay. Because for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. We want to go to the next level that he's called us to be. Because what? I'm tired of being in the rut. I'm tired of rocking forward and backward. It seems like we're going forward. And then here comes something to push us back. And then we go a little bit forward and go back. And next thing you know, you get tired of it. That's what the Bible said. Do not be what? Weary in well-doing. Sometimes you find yourself there into what? The mentality changed. And when the mentality is changing, I have decided that I'm going to find the positive thing in everything I do. There were some things that happened to me on this week that I wasn't very happy about. But I told my wife, I said, baby, but this is the positive side. Well, honey, this bill increased by this much, but this might be the positive side. So, and you know what? It's work. Because my default has been over the last year or so that I just want to just find a negative. Why? Because I found it made me feel better. But what it was doing was really, it was affecting this ministry. It was affecting how we go forward. And I didn't want to say, Lord, that's the last thing I want to do. But if you're the leader, then so go the people. So if you don't change, oh, come on, somebody. If you're not held accountable, how can you hold them accountable? If you're not doing these things in your body, how do you, yes, you're praying, but if you're spinning your wheels, every now and then I drop my glory on you, but then you're spinning your wheels. So there's got to be some change. They said the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk in insanity. I want to avoid. The Bible said that he's given us a sound mind. That means that what? He's given us the right to be able to discern and be able to what? See good and evil and walk in it. And as we retrain ourselves in the Beatitudes, that what? This is our default. This is what we default to when we're under pressure. When I'm under pressure, I fall on my knees. I ain't scared to pray in my office. In fact, y'all probably know I did Bible study from here this week. Man, I'm not scared. Why? Because what? There's some things that God has given us. But also in all these things, what? Do what you have wisdom. I'm not saying you just do anything and everything other, because there's some things I can do that you can't do, and there's some things you can do that I can't do. It's called using wisdom and discernment, amen? But nonetheless, God is calling us to take the two to be one. So don't walk around in double-mindedness. Why? Because you're unstable, which means you're going to make the decision for the police, whatever part of it is that you're walking in. But I've made the decision. I know you've made the decision that we're going to walk in one. So that when that atheist at my job sees me and hears me, and you know, I don't have to go out of my way and say I'm going to put hands on and all this stuff. All I got to do is live the life. Because they know. They see. It's like, man, that happened to me. This is what they be saying. That happened to me. I would have turned this mother out, right? I mean, y'all know how they talk. No, some people saw what I went through to try to get that job, and then I would have sued. I would have did it. Because that's not what God told me to do. He said, it's done. And I had to walk in faith. And you know, I shared that with you all. I had to walk in faith. Y'all know, y'all could feel the heaviness on my spirit. That thing was heavy. I'm like, Lord, they're playing with me. Now, Lord, you didn't say, I'd rather just leave me alone. But God has a plan. And as we walk with my faith and not by sight, we just got to trust him and know that when the two become one, that he's going to fix it. And you're going to walk into those streets and you ain't got to say anything. And you'll walk in meekness. Why? Because it takes more strength to walk in meekness than it does in what? Being wild. You have to what? Preserve yourself. You'll learn the things that you should say, that you shouldn't say. Places you should go, you shouldn't go. People you should hang out with, people you shouldn't hang out with. It doesn't make you bougie. It don't make you ugly. It just makes you what? I'm protecting my value. I'm protecting my value. And what happens? When your value raises, all those who associate with you, their values go up too. Last thing, and I'm going to close. Oh, yesterday, I was sitting on the porch, and the house across the street from us just finished getting built. And there was some people over there that was going in and out and out. And, you know, and he waved it to me at first, and I called out to him. I said, what are y'all doing over there? Because I seen they were going in and out. I'd never seen them before. And he said, oh, we're appraising the house. So, you know, this house is going to be sold here soon. And as he said, there was appraising the house. I said, oh, okay, I need you to put a value of $1 million on there. And he said, well, what about 1.2? I said, that'll work. And, you know, we were saying that jokingly because I knew the house was $1 million. But why I say that, why? Because if that house was appraised at $1 million, what it does is it raises the property value of mine too. And I didn't have to do anything but what? Be associated with that property. In the same neighborhood by association, it's across the street from my house. So if it's $1 million house, then that means mine got to be quarter, at least three quarters of a million at least. Because you cannot be in association and not have some of the same values. Ask yourself that, brothers and sisters. Look at those who you associate with. You have to share similar values. The old folk used to say it like this, birds of a feather flock together. That's really what they're saying. That the same values you have. So if you see yourself hanging out with people and you associate with certain people and doing certain things, ask yourself, Lord, I need to change my associations. Because my value is being harmed here. My value, if you find yourself to be the top of your circle, you need to find a new circle. Why? Because you don't have anybody else to aspire to be. You don't have anybody else to aspire to work towards. And all these things work, it's a constantly going forward. The Bible said we are perfected. We're never there. This is why Paul calls, he said, I fought the good fight. Mm-hmm. That I finished my course. That I ended my race. And then one day, you and I will be here, and we will end our race. But until then, we are to continue to strive. And that the two be one. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that you found this to be a blessing to you on today. That's all I have for us on today. Amen. Do anybody desire any prayer as we go into our offering part of our service on this morning? But God has just been so good to us, and I'm just so grateful that he has been so good to us and this way he's been and where we've been and how he's just opened up doors for us. I ask that you get on your feet. I'm standing on your feet, and we are praying, and we're going to close out. Amen. Did y'all enjoy the word today? Amen. So grateful. As we go into the month of September, we'll be moving into the body. If you go into the church website, you'll find that we have that there. We have it all outlined. And usually around this time of year, when God starts working on me about what we're going to do for the next year. Amen. So I ask that you all continue to pray for me as we go through that process. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here today. Lord Jesus, that we understand, Lord Jesus, that the two must become one. Lord Jesus, that you rent down the wall, Lord Jesus, that all the petition that was between us and the enemy, oh God, Lord Jesus, for us, Lord Jesus, to come freely to you. Lord Jesus, ask that you help your people on this day. Lord Jesus, help them to go forward, oh God. Protect them in their bodies. Protect our children, oh God, as they go to school. Lord, protect all our teachers and our professors, Lord. Protect all our workers, Lord Jesus, those who, Lord Jesus, who work it, Lord Jesus, outside of the home. Lord, let no hurt, harm, or danger come to them in any form or fashion. Bless them, oh God. Keep them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God, like only you can. Lord Jesus, ask that you continue to take us up and down the dangerous highways, Lord. Let no hurt, harm, or danger come to us in any form or fashion. Bless us in our bodies, oh God, Lord. Help us to exercise discipline as we go forward, oh God. To do your will and to do your way, Lord Jesus. To be better, Lord Jesus, not only spiritually, but also physically, oh God. Lord Jesus, our spirit prosper, Lord Jesus. You said that the soul prosper, Lord Jesus. And that this body prosper. Lord Jesus, that you help us to make decisions, oh God, as we go forward on this day. Lord Jesus, we continue, Lord Jesus, to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we don't know everything. We don't see everything. But we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are our provider, that you're Jehovah Nissi, Lord, that you fight our battles. Jehovah Sikker, do that, Lord Jesus, your God Almighty. And Lord, we thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that healing, Lord, you come across this place right now in the name of Jesus, both online and here in this sanctuary. Lord, I ask that you love on us, keep us, and hold us, Lord Jesus, as we go forward on this day. I ask that you bless the offering on today, Lord Jesus, that those who have been given, those who have it not, open up the windows of heaven, oh God, pour them out a blessing they have no room to receive. Also, Lord, as we give this benediction on today, Lord Jesus, take them and bring them, oh God. Take them home, Lord Jesus, protect them, keep them, Lord. Let them enjoy themselves. Let them rest and relax, oh God, as they prepare for the next week that's coming forward. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we love you, and we praise your name, Lord. I ask that you help us to go forward in your wisdom and in your way. Give us discernment, oh God, to decide to make decisions as we go forward. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, we love you, and we praise your name, Lord. We give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We ask you all things of us in the power of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Madison, would you come up and get the offering bucket, please? To those online, you can be a blessing to the Safe House Church. In the way of offering, we have Cash App. Cash App is $ Safe House Church, GSO. Again, it's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Also, you can find us at paypal.me/ministryaid. Again, it's paypal.me/ministryaid. Or you can go old school, P.O. Box, make check and money orders to Find and Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Amen. Hallelujah. All hearts and minds are clear. Also, I want to remind you, the women at the well, they've celebrated their, it's almost been a year now, I guess, so we're getting close to it. They had their retreat on last week, and they had a great time, amen. We're just so grateful what God is doing. Please ask me if you are able to join them. You do not have to be a member of the Safe House Church to be a part of this group. This is just women of God who want to come together and know God and know Him in a better way and just have other women to be able to talk to. Maybe you don't have anybody to talk to. Maybe you don't have anybody to reach out to, but we want you to have this place as a place that you can do so. Just go to the website, safehousechurchgso.com/women, And then you can register there for the link, and then the link will put you right there in the midst with them. Amen. So I think at this time that all hearts and minds are clear. Does anybody have anything else that they need to say or do? Amen. Well, at this time, we have given the benediction. You all are free to go. God bless you all. Love you all. Remember, we have a prayer every morning at 6 a.m. Be there on the prayer call if you desire. If you need to get there from those on the internet, all you have to do is go to our church website. That information is there. Click on the prayer link, and you can jump right on with us every morning at 6 a.m. to 6:30. And be reminded, on Wednesday nights, we do still have our Bible study, where we're still in the book of Acts. Amen. God bless you all. Love you all. Thank you all for coming, and we'll see you all next time. Take care.